Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, entitled The Opulence of the Absolute, text number 11. Tesham evanu kampartam aham ajnanajam tamaha nasham yatma bhavasto jnanadipena basphata. Translation: to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Chaitanya was in Banaras, promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Sarasvati, a very influential and learned scholar in Banaras at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Where are you going? Yeah, he's knocking. He doesn't have a key? Oh, you don't have a key, huh?
I also open.
Oh, okay. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic scriptures, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of the understanding. There is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and even if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased, and by his inconceivable energy he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of his ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Again, here the emphasis is on knowledge. Yesterday we also read a verse where Krishna said that when one is situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, he can easily cross over the ocean of material miseries. Here Krishna describes how one receives transcendental knowledge. Krishna himself gives it. That's why it's called transcendental knowledge. It's not something that by your own prowess, your own ability, your own endeavor. You can go to college and get a degree in chemistry or physics or mathematics by hard work, by studying the material, by repeatedly memorizing different books, etc. But spiritual knowledge, you can go on reading Bhagavad Gita for many lifetimes, but you'll never enter into the mystery of its understanding until you actually become a devotee of Krishna. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam yetad uttamam. This confidential knowledge is revealed to you, Arjuna, because you're my friend and my devotee. Mata smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness. These things are, they depend upon Krishna. If Krishna wants to cover our intelligence, sometimes we wonder, why don't non-devotees take the devotional service? You know, we appreciate it. This is, you know, I remember when we first started distributing magazines and the Back to Godhead magazine was coming out, and each issue was getting better. The articles were getting better, and first of all we had black and white, and then it was color, and I thought, oh boy, this is so nice. Now, surely everyone will read this and become a devotee. It's so easy to understand. And I would enthusiastically go out and distribute the magazine, but still people wouldn't take up Krishna consciousness. So it cannot be understood so easily unless Krishna gives the intelligence. He tells Arjuna in another place, the Dami Divyam Te Chakshu, in the 11th chapter. So, therefore I give you divine eyes. I give you the ability to see me. I give you the intelligence. I destroy the darkness so that you can, with the light of knowledge, see me. So in the final analysis, although in our sampradaya, in our line, there are many learned scholars, Brahma is the greatest of all learned persons within the universe. Madhvacharya in South India. The Madhvas are known to be the biggest scholars. There are the Ramanujas, there are also preachers and scholars. There are the Shankarites, the followers of Shankaracharya. But in Sanskrit, which is a technical language and his knowledge of Sanskrit can help one to debate the meaning of the Vedas, the followers of Madhva are super excellent, or they have that reputation. And we're coming in that line, of course. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not stress the importance of dry academic knowledge. He stressed devotion, and he worshipped the mood of the gopis as being the highest, prema pumarto mahan, not jnana pumarto mahan. He stressed love and devotion to Krishna. But nevertheless, there are many great scholars. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's the most brilliant man, and his father also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very powerful speaker, learned, wrote hundreds of books, at least more than 100 books he wrote. So there's an emphasis on knowledge, but the knowledge ultimately depends upon the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes the Christians say this, that everything depends upon the mercy of the Lord. That's true. So even though people may criticize us, but we're not naive. The devotion which we execute is based upon sound principles. That's another point. Those persons who take up devotional service, but they don't refer to Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Pancharatra, their devotion is called utpat, or it becomes a disturbance to society, because they just concoct and invent different mantras. Prabhupada was so careful that his disciples should not even add one little word to Hare Krishna mantra. Sometimes devotees would add bhaja to Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare, they're doing kirtanali. No, just to give it a little extra spicing, they would add Hare bhaja, or, you know, bolo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, bolo Hare Rama, you know, as if that was going to make it a little bit better. And Prabhupada would get very upset. And on different occasions, he would actually send someone, stop the kirtan. They should not sing this. Because what we are receiving through parampara is already perfect. And there's no need to add or subtract. And the moment we do that, then we deviate from the pure path and we introduce something that is, sound is such a subtle thing. You see that a lot of the trouble in the world is initiated by mundane sound vibration. Wars start because one politician says something nasty or whatever about another politician, or you see the all the politicians, all the countries in the world, the voice of America, the, you know, the voice of Russia, this or that, BBC, all spreading their propaganda, trying to influence other nations around the world. Sound vibration is very powerful, and even imperceptibly it can change our consciousness and our way of life. Therefore, it is said, Mayavadi Bhasha Shunilehoi Sarvanash. If you listen to impersonalist philosophy, sometimes it's attractive. They speak very eloquently, using so many flowery words, and they tell us what we want to hear. You are God. You don't have to surrender to anyone. You're the enjoyer. You're Krishna. This is just a dream. You will soon realize that you are it. Thou art that. Tattvamasi. You are Brahman. You are God. So, it may be attractive in the sense that it's practically, it's sense gratification. And innocently or foolishly, if we start to listen to it, we will actually lose our capacity to see Krishna as a person. First of all, it's an insult to Krishna. Just like if someone starts talking about one of your family members and saying so many things about them that they're, you know, not a very distinctive person, they're very ordinary, they're, you know, plain looking, and or they have no existence. If someone says, you know, your mother has no, you know, existence or something, if you actually have any affection for that person, you'll become offended that someone's talking about them in that way. So it's an insult for people to say that Krishna doesn't exist, or Krishna is just an image or a concoction or a device, or actually you are Krishna. It's an insult. That's the first thing, and we should not hear such blasphemy. And secondly, if we start to believe that I am God, then our heart becomes very hardened and Krishna won't reveal himself. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavata. I cover their intelligence, Krishna says. They'll never know me. They have no faith in me, in my personal existence. Therefore, apropyamam, they can't achieve me. Asraddha dhanasya purusha, those who have asraddha. Sraddha means faith, and asraddha means those who don't have faith. Faith is something that even goes beyond our experience or even our reason. If you go to school today, you're indoctrinated. You're repeatedly taught from your childhood that if you can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, then it probably doesn't exist. And they call this the age of reason. And unless you can contain it within your tiny cranium, within your thinking power, unless you can understand it, unless you can explain it to me so that I can understand it, then I don't believe in it. But faith in Krishna means that even though we don't fully understand the subject, but we just accept. Sometimes we will understand up to a certain degree. But even if we don't understand, our intuition and our devotional feelings, we accept, we have faith. And the result of not having faith, which can be, our faith can be destroyed by hearing impersonalist philosophy. So we have to avoid it. It's like if we are susceptible to getting colds, then we have to wear warm clothing. We have to avoid certain habits, going out in the cold weather without warm clothing. If we're susceptible to allergies, then we have to avoid going to an area where the grass has just been cut, or whatever our allergy is, where there may be pollen in the air. We have to adjust our life accordingly. And if we hear that hearing impersonalist philosophy is bad for us, then we should avoid it. That's intelligence. So sound is very, very important, and devotees try to hear especially the Maha Mantra and the explanation or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the association of other devotees. And then the next step is that when one has a little faith in the holy name, when one has a little conviction about spiritual life, then in order not to be a hypocrite, one has to serve the holy name. One has to engage in devotional service. And by doing that, Krishna will reward such a person with devotional service. It's really a reward. Devotional service and the ability to see Krishna are a reward that Krishna bestows on the devotee. Therefore, it is said one should not try or be so anxious to see Krishna, but one should first deserve, then desire. Or one should act in such a way that Krishna will come and see you. Krishna will be pleased by your effort. Because finally, in the final analysis, there's nothing we can do. We're very small. We're very small, very weak, very new, very unqualified. The only thing we can do is sincerely try our best to serve Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And there's joy in that. There's happiness in that. It's fulfilling just by itself. But the result will be that Krishna will be pleased. It is the experience of devotees in the past. It's the experience of devotees at present. And we will also experience that. The more we dedicate ourselves to devotional service, the more Krishna will reveal himself. Everything is degree. Everything is degree, a question of degree. And yayata mam papadyante tanakstutayava prajami aham. So, in that sense, the torchlight which destroys the darkness, Krishna Surya Sam, Krishna is present when we're engaging in glorifying Him, engaging in devotional service. So, these statements in the Bhagavad Gita, if one reads Bhagavad Gita without serving Krishna, he'll never understand. But if one starts to serve, then all of these statements will come alive. We'll not only study them and appreciate their philosophical significance in the whole description of matter and spirit, etc., but we'll actually feel very much in touch. Very much the statements will confirm our own realization. Realization comes about by putting knowledge into action. Realization or vigyan comes when you hear something from your spiritual master, from the Vaishnavas or from the scripture, and then you act on it, and then the chemistry or the dynamics is such, Krishna reveals himself. And you know it. You don't have to be told it. When you're eating, no one has to tell you when you're full. You automatically feel it very strong. I'm full now. I don't need any more to eat. It's my feeling. So realization is like that. And you need a little confidence in the process, because sometimes we even doubt ourselves. I'm feeling this, but probably I'm wrong. You know, that's another kind of maya, to allow your mind to convince you that even what you're feeling is wrong. We have to be a little spontaneous. We have to trust if we're following, and we get some spiritual realization, which perhaps we confirm with the other Vaishnavas, etc. But then, you know, be positive. All right, it's 8:30. Any questions?
I have one question about I read just today, also recently, Bhakti Das Maharaj's booklet about beginner guide to Krishna consciousness. There is also, besides Mayavad, there are sajyas.
Mm-hmm.
And sajya means when they try to just hold this. It's very devoted, without philosophy. How is it possible that they show such feelings? Or is this real, or is just pretending?
Well,
what is actually sahaja? What does it mean?
Well, you said it. They, without any reference to Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidam, Vidhi, Aikantiki, Harir, Bhakti, Utpati, Ayurakalpate, Rupa Goswami mentions that devotional service, which is performed without reference to the standard authorities, including the scriptures and the representatives of the scripture,
they're just concocting. And oftentimes they're sentimentalists. They're, you know, there's the rational side of one's nature and the sentimental side. There's the right side and the left side of the brain. And, you know, we have to have a balance. Intelligence is actually measured by modern psychologists and whatnot, by one's ability to balance his emotional and creative side with the rational and intelligence-oriented side of the brain, whatever. But especially in devotional service, we have to, in the stage of sadhaka, sadhana bhakti, we have to carefully study how to please Krishna. We can't just be whimsical or capricious. So these people, they reject the bona fide spiritual master, and they engage in activities which are, when carried to the extreme, very, very sensuous. They do such bizarre things, and you can see it in Vrindavan. They dress up as men and women. Or, okay, that's one thing. They dress up as men and women and have rasa dance and this and that, and, you know, just make a silly show. And think that because they're doing it as Krishna and Radha that it's spiritual. But even other things, sometimes one nonsense person will exploit some ladies, and he will pretend he's Krishna, and the ladies, either out of foolishness or even their own lusty desire, will, you know, in the name of devotional service, engage in illicit activities. And this is all very disturbing to society. So this is sahajiya, to make cheap, to make something that's actually very, very profound, the end of all knowledge, bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan, mam prabhatyante, to make that just cheap and easily accessible. Any new bhakta can just, you know, all of a sudden put on a dress and pretend he's a gopi, and why do you don't even, it's, you know, there are many, you see it in different religions where people feel that they can go directly to God, and they want to make everything cheap and easily available in the market, and you don't have to pay any price, you don't have to surrender, you don't have to develop maturity, you don't have to please Krishna, you just, you know,
jump over
or make everything very cheap. Okay, thank you.